This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, of course, we reflected on the Cricket World Cup, as you'd imagine. Mm. And we spoke to Andrew Alderson, who works for the New Zealand Herald. He was a slightly broken man today.
Before but a good man.
Yeah, a good man. And you'll hear what he had to say from a Kiwi perspective on the yesterday's World Cup final. We also spoke to Tom Thorold-Jones, who is a young tennis player, currently at university in the States on a tennis scholarship. And he was fairly instrumental in helping Simona Halep win the women's singles final.
We had Don't Ask Me, and if you like, when I do the bottom of page two of my notes. In the
The barrel was being scraped.
The barrel scraped, you'll like that bit.
Yeah, so here it all is.
What an emotional roller coaster. What a game of cricket.
Just
one of the greatest finishes ever seen, really. It really was sensational at the end. Incredible. Both the end of the actual game and the end of the Super Over.
Yeah.
We just absolutely amazing. And
I'll tell you what, I'd be quite talking about the amount of people who maybe got the chance to watch that game and the viewing figures from it. After the 2005 Ashes, my youngest boy was playing for a cricket club. And when the Ashes finished, they had loads of kids turn up for net sessions, for practice sessions. Quite a lot of them sort of drifted away.
Yeah.
But it was just ridiculous. It was probably about four times as many kids as usual. A few stayed. Yeah. Most didn't, but at least a few stayed. So I think that'll be interesting at the end of this summer.
There'll be a bit of that, but it was only one day as opposed to a whole summer's cricket. And
well, we've got that to come, of course.
I think there'll be a clamour. I was saying to you, you know, if we get to the fifth day of the Ashes and it's the fifth test and England need 200 and Australia need 8 wickets, there'll be a massive clamour to put that on Channel 4.
Yeah.
I think what the ECB need to do, really, is look at all the tournaments they've got and give it to terrestrial, you know, because that is worth it. I think it's a bit much to keep asking Sky to share what they've paid a lot of money.
They all say they have. They've given the 100, some of the 100 to terrestrial TV.
I think, you know, more of it basically is what's needed. But it was the thing about that game was incredible because there were so many times where I thought, we've lost this. I mean, I know I'm pessimistic the best time. I said to you, when Plunkett got out, I said, Roy Orbison started his car.
Yeah.
It was one of those. And you said to me, if it'll be Sir Jofra Archer. I said, no, surely it's going to be Lord Jofra Archer.
Well, he was on earlier, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
But Alan's great this morning. He said, you can show me a picture of Joffrey. And Dean said, well, why do you keep calling him Joffrey? So it's just the way I pronounce it.
No, it's not.
Not his name, though, is it?
Not really, no. Alan
watched call him Alan Brazil, wasn't it?
He watched the tennis. He didn't watch any of the cricket.
Watched the tennis.
You know, I kept flicking over to the tennis and I just think, oh, God, is it still on? And you turn and every point I watched, I know these people are brilliantly skilled and people loved it. It took 5 hours and it was a great final and all that stuff. But to me, every time I turn over, it's just the same point over and over again. Don't get it. That doesn't do it for me.
What was on?
Turn back to the cricket. It was so much more exciting.
Yeah. What was on at the same time? Was Country File on? They moved that to. I wonder how many people
moved later.
Country File.
No, it went later.
Oh, it went later. Okay, fair enough.
It could have been Katie Price's new show, which starts tonight. My Crazy Life.
Wow.
If you watch that, there is actually something wrong with you. Really.
Not sure about that.
Oh yeah, it's their 25th. Series in 18 years about her life. What else can she say about her life, really?
I watched one of her many series for TV Burp, and it was basically one of those series gave birth to Rylan. Ryland Clark Neal, he came from one of those shows long before he did the X Factor. Yeah. Yeah, so we can thank the work of Katie Price on ITV4, I'm guessing, for the brilliant Ryland.
Honestly, yes, I was reading about the X Factor. Simon Cowell's revamping it again with a new theme tune.
Yeah.
Oh, forget it, mate. Unless you're going to use Roy Orbison's It's Over.
Wow. Really? Roy Orbison, two mentions in the first five. It's big, isn't it? Is it Roy Orbison Day?
It very much is, actually. Yeah. And it was the anniversary of the moon landing.
Yeah, I think. You'd never guess, would you, if you put your telly on.
And the Daily Mirror published... I do like these things. You know, then when they published a facsimile paper from the day that, you know, that actually happened.
Yeah. The football results in there.
Yeah, well, and they have sort of the small ads. I don't see any of the football results, but it said the main reporter was Arthur Smith in Houston.
Really?
I was thinking, whatever happened to White Moon Rock?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. You've got to know the Arthur Smith back catalogue, really, the comedian, to get that. But I was with you on that one.
Jeremy Coney was good, though, wasn't he? He said, I don't want to sound like sour grapes, but you think, well, you do, really. I wouldn't say anything if I was you, really.
We're going to have a chat with...
I feel for a New Zealand,
yeah,
though.
Not much. We're going to have a chat with a Kiwi a little bit later on and commiserate to an extent.
Yeah. The Queen sent a letter or a telegram. Not telegram.
I think she sent a telegram.
Sent a note saying it was a thrill.
Yeah.
Actually, what she said, what time's the racing on?
I imagine she was watching the sort of 2:15 somewhere in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Do you think she just watches the racing channel?
I do, really.
Happy Valley. She went for Happy Valley to come on live.
And Prince Philip, he loved cricket, so
he probably would have been into it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, there are quite a lot of stories arising from the cricket, of course. And
certainly are, yeah.
Only the ECB could schedule a county game on the day of the final so that Stuart Broad and Alastair Cook couldn't watch the game because they would play... I mean, can you imagine having a league game during the World Cup final? Honestly, surely give them a day off. You know, there was always a chance that England were going to be in the final. What a strange thing to do, really. Did you notice the markings on the pitch? You know, when they went to the overhead,
like
sort of fungal fusarium type thing. It certainly wasn't the groundsman from Brecon City.
Fungal fusarium?
Well, it was a sort of very odd...
It's not a phrase you hear every day on TalkSport.
Did you notice all those odd things on the... pitch? Well, I don't know what was that was all about, really.
What's a fungal fusarium?
Well, it's a sort of, it's a fungus that grass can get, I think.
Okay.
I might be making that up.
Yeah, I think you could. I mean, it does seem odd that they play at Lord's is covered in fungus.
Did you not notice that?
Maybe you should ring the ground staff.
Did you notice the patterns on the pitch?
No, I didn't notice it.
Oh,
no,
really?
You've got green fingers, Andy.
Yeah, watermarks or possibly drain marks. Yeah, Rufus was noticing.
Oh, okay, well, fair enough, right.
And you were looking at it through one eye,
I
know.
I think I were. I
think a lot of people were. And I'll tell you one thing that doesn't work here, but works in the IPL, is that blaring music between overs.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't, the crowd don't join in. It's just annoying. With the IPL, everybody goes mad and they're the cheerleaders and everybody's jumping up and down. There are little sections where people are dancing. But here, it feels very artificial that I couldn't see. You didn't need it, but anyway, they put it in there. What can you do?
Indeed.
What else have we got? Oh, we got all the celebs at Wimbledon yesterday. They were all there, weren't they?
Are you still maintaining they're people that don't like any other sport?
Well, very much so, yeah.
Yeah.
Catherine Jenkins, of course, we know she likes a bit of tennis.
Yep.
Benedict Cumberbatch, I don't know, maybe he likes football. And it's amazing there. Brooklyn Beckham has somehow become a celebrity. I mean, he's basically a photographer's assistant, this lad. That's it. But somehow he features alongside Benedict Cumberbatch, who's... done quite a bit more in his life than Brooklyn, but there you go. That's the way the papers are, I suppose.
Yeah, of course, mate. That's the power of celebrity.
It is. And celebrity fans took to Twitter to congratulate the boys, and the two examples they found in the paper were Stephen Fry, of course, who loves cricket, and Ross Kemp. I suppose they wanted sort of two different ends of the spectrum.
Well, Ross Kemp, when he celebrates an England victory, as we know from that infamous bit of film from the World Cup
last year.
That's
very true, really. Yeah.
He can go into a bit of a meltdown, Ross, can't he? But I think he seemed quite controlled yesterday. Meltdown, Stan.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Andy, are you still young at heart, would you say? Are you a kid at heart?
I'm very much a kid at heart.
Because apparently, according to a poll, two out of three of us are big kids at heart.
Yes.
And they still do stuff like... I'm interested to have you still do stuff like this. Do you still watch Disney films?
No, I won't watch The Lion King. I saw the trailer for it.
Do you watch kids' telly? That'd be a bit creepy, wouldn't it?
Well, I like Horrible Histories.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well,
I love Horrible Histories.
You've got right into
that,
have you?
It's really fun, yeah. It's funny.
Do you crank up the volume on whenever you get the opportunity?
Of what?
Well, what do you mean, of what?
What, music?
Yeah, the thing is, at your age, you're cranking up the volume not because you like things loud, because you just can't hear it. It could be that. It's a very fine line.
No, I like to pump up the volume, as they say.
Okay, nice, nice contemporary... Well, I say contemporary about 30 years ago. Playing crazy golf?
I have enjoyed it in my career.
Okay. These are some of the signs of you still being a big kid at heart.
Yeah.
Colouring in. Now, we know you like colouring in, Andy.
Yeah, I love colouring in. That's my favourite thing.
Fantastic.
I think I've peaked now.
You think really artistically you've peaked?
Honestly, the one I did on the weekend, I think that's it. I'm never going to top that. It's a bit depressing.
You're going to have to lop your ear off, are you, and then call it a day?
Yeah, I can see why artists go mad.
The way you lump yourself in with the greats.
Me, Van Gogh.
Yeah. You got all the artistic things. You could go and move to Tahiti, couldn't you? Like, go get. What are you going to do? That would be good, wouldn't it? All the artistic. Lop your ear off and move to Tahiti. What happened to Andy? Used to remember him, talk sport. Oh, yeah, he lopped his ear off, went to Tahiti. Yeah, a bit weird that.
I like these in the court
circuit. Bombing down a slide. You bomb down a slide? I don't think you do. I can't see you doing that.
No, I'm being cautious. That's right, really.
Yeah. Okay, so that's apparently what makes you young at heart.
The Duke of York.
Oh, yeah.
Was at York races. I always like it when the Duke of York visits York.
Yeah.
Well, saves travel costs.
It's the least
costs.
It can do, isn't it?
Keeps the costs down.
Yeah, it does.
And the Duke of Kent was at the...
He wasn't in Kent, was he?
No, he was at the Wimbledon. We know. It would be more news if he wasn't there, let's be honest. Stop telling us that. You don't
Fair
care.
Enough.
And what fun Zara and Mike Tindall were having at Wimbledon, writes Sylvia Monk to the Sun. She couldn't be more natural in public. The Duchess of Sussex has much to learn from her. And there's quite a lot of these sort of little nitpicky things about her and the tennis. The people haven't enjoyed her visits at the match, which I think is a shame, really.
Do you want to know what the markings are on the Lord's pitch?
Oh, yeah, tell me.
They're called fair rings, and they are caused by mushroom spores. Come on, you spores.
Yeah, there you go, fusarium.
Fairy rings, not fair rings. Teresa, he's on fire. He's our producer. He's our assistant producer. That man, capable of. He knows what the words are. He just doesn't put them on the screen and give me a fairy chance to read them out properly. Thank you very much. So now we know, Andy. That's what the markings were.
And Prince Louis, I don't know which one he is. Is he which one number is he? I think he's number three of William and Kate, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. You talk about the royals a lot, Andy. Don't you?
I'm very
obsession,
loyal
mate.
I'm like Nigel Dempster of Talk Sport.
Okay,
contemporary reference there.
Yeah.
Prince Louis was given a pair of Stan Smith tennis shoes by Stan Smith. And they're really sweet. They are lovely. They're little Adidas Stan
Smith. He doesn't make them. He doesn't do his own cobbling, does he?
No, he gets them from his Adidas Stan Smith, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They're still a very popular shoe.
I mean, that's fantastic, isn't it? Stan, I mean, he won Wimbledon once, didn't he?
Yeah.
Did he win the final? He did in about early 70s.
He won it once, yeah. I don't know if it was that year when no one else turned up.
But I suppose
that's a bit harsh. He's probably got a better record than that.
George Foreman told us on the show, didn't he? He gets recognised more for being the bloke in the grill commercials than he ever did as a boxer.
That's
so
true.
It must be odd for Stan. I mean, you know, there he is at Wimbledon, people saying, yeah, love the shoes, Stan. I mean, it's a bit strange, isn't it? He's become more famous for that than he has his tennis.
I am a two-time Grand Slam singles champion, and also with my partner, Bob Lutz, form one of the most successful doubles teams of all time.
Yeah, never mind that, Stan. What about the shoes?
But I think he won two Grand Slams. I think he won Wimbledon once.
Because, they're quite cool, and they sort of they become popular, and then they sort of go out of fashion a bit, and then they come back. Or is that unfair? Have they always been constantly,
constantly fashionable? They're sort of classic, aren't they now, really?
How much do you reckon he gets a pair, Stan? What do you reckon he's on?
Pound.
Pound a pair?
Pound a pair.
No idea
at all.
But you take that. If they offered you, if they brought out Adidas Andy Jacobs.
Oh, yeah.
And they offered you a pound a pair. Would
I
you,
would take that.
You'd
yeah.
take that. Okay, would try and force it up. You'd buy a pair of Adidas Andy Jacobs. What colour would they be, I wonder?
Well, they probably. I know I'm more a Nike man myself.
Oh, okay, so, blimey. Yeah. Okay, looking for a free pair then.
Well, I don't know about that.
Maybe they'll send you some.
They haven't so far.
No. Anything else?
What else have we got? Well, there's a couple of incredibly dull Rita Ora stories.
Okay.
Honestly, I can't
We can't wait to hear them. Yeah, as you've prefaced them with incredibly dull.
Did you see the annual purposeless stroll took place yesterday? It made all the sort of tabloids, it wouldn't make the tabloids, would it? It's basically these dandies. They're called the Grand Flaneurs.
Never heard of them.
And they begin at Beau Brummel's statue.
Yeah.
And they just go for a walk that's a purposeless stroll. So there they are. They're all dressed in sort of very foppish sort of wear.
Sounds like walking the Spurs in the 80s, basically a purposeless stroll. Yeah, I see. So the blokes, some of them in top hats, they've got monocles.
Yeah.
And I don't think, looking at them, I don't see them as the TalkSport hardcore. I don't think. How many dandies you've got listening to the show today?
Not a lot, I don't think.
Yeah, the Grand Flaneur, they walk, as you say, Bo Brummel's. Where is Bo Brummel's?
Bo Brummel.
Somebody else, surely. Bo Brummel's statue, where is it? In
German
London?
Street.
Oh, okay, fair enough. And, well, it sounds like a fantastic.
And apparently, thing. Tiger Woods turned up yesterday and appeared tired to observe.
What? Bo Brummel's statue?
No, at Portrush.
Oh, okay.
And you think, well, it's not really surprising, he's been getting up at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, we discovered last week.
I think it's backfired, though.
He's been on UK time to prepare himself. He's been getting up at 1 in the morning, so he doesn't really notice the difference. But, yeah, we'll see if that pans out on Thursday at 3:10.
Yeah, I think he says that sometimes, you know, he can do more than other times, you know, because he's at that age. And so if his body allows him, he'll play well. But if it doesn't, it's going to be difficult.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Now, spare a thought for all New Zealanders today who will probably feel like they didn't really lose, but they did.
Yeah,
I mean, so little in it at the end, wasn't there?
They won a great percentage of that game. There's no question about it. And they played brilliantly. And when it was, and there were times in that match, I'm saying to you, when Ruud en Bairstow faced three maiden overs in a row, you're thinking, oh, this is not good. But, you know, in the end, it played out for England. But they approached their cricket in such an admirable way. And all the England players were very quick to say that.
Jimmy Neesham, of course, their all-rounder, said, kids, he tweeted today, kids, don't take up sport. Take up baking or something. Diet 60, really fat and happy.
Oh, shame. You can understand why he feels like that today.
Joining us now from New Zealand Herald, Andrew Alderson, who was, of course, is over here reporting on the Cricket World Cup. Good afternoon, Andrew.
Morning, chaps. Well, good afternoon, chaps.
How are you feeling in the cold light of day? You've had sort of, you know, 8, 15, 16 hours to contemplate that game.
I don't think it's getting any less raw, actually. Just thinking about that result, I'm thinking two teams tied and you lose by zero runs. That's a tough one to take, I think, from a New Zealand perspective. I think that it was that they were both worthy winners. England certainly, given their display and coming back into the game, but just to tie on those two scores was quite remarkable. And I was thinking that Williamson, when he was at that press conference afterwards, the diplomacy he showed and being able to be gracious in that defeat was quite remarkable. Well, he probably deserves a posting to the United Nations or something like that.
Yeah, it was class, wasn't it? Really
for,
class.
For his future career employment.
And until that inadvertent six, it really did look like only one team was going to win that game. It was, you know, it was really New Zealand's match. And it'll probably lead to a rule change, that, I think, because, you know, England profited in a ridiculous way, didn't they, in that last over of the regulation match.
Well, it's true, but it was a pretty accurate-looking throw from Guptill, from my memory of it. which made it even more of a bitter pill to swallow. But I think the trouble is, I mean, I can't even remember that happening in a game ever, where it hits the bat and actually goes down to the boundary for four. I mean, yeah, okay, an overthrow or whatever, but you think about a bat in that acreage of Lords, and in fact the ball's hit it from that far out, and it's in the final over of a World Cup final. I mean, that is an extraordinary set of circumstances to come together at one time.
I've never seen anything like that either.
I see from your paper, one of the Aussie bookmakers has given refunds to people who put money on the Black Caps to win the World Cup, saying it's an absolute disgrace. So, yeah.
And they're just bitter that England won, that's what, you know.
It's also just a game. It's all right. Yeah. And I suppose that, yeah, when there's money on it and things, yeah, it gets a bit more serious, doesn't it? But most gracious of that Australian bookmaking firm, I must say.
Did you feel hopeful that that the team could go all the way to the final before the World Cup got underway?
Yes, I did. I think I wasn't as confident as I was that, I suppose the semi-final against India was such a key game, and then they were in the final. But I just think that the way they started the tournament, the way they played to their strengths, I think they were able to adapt to the conditions as well as any team in the tournament. They weren't fixated on having to have a certain game plan, and I think that really played. That was a good hand that they played, and I think that was able to be exhibited because of the strength of, well, if I'm thinking of one person in particular, Kane Williamson. The fact that in anywhere in the world that Kane Williamson plays, he can adapt, and that is an amazing skill to have, to be able to work out within a couple of overs how a pitch is going to play and tailor your game accordingly. And I just think that so much revolved around him and his strength of character. And it's probably reflected, it's probably, you know, by osmosis, it's come back down through the team. And he's certainly someone that is just going to be a great of the game in New Zealand for years to come.
And that, it's that great reaction to the fact he's player of the tournament when he was told, and he goes, what, me? He couldn't quite believe it.
I'll tell you what, with Kane Williamson, what you see is what you get. There's nothing cynical about Kane Williamson. He is just a genuinely decent fellow. And that reaction didn't surprise me in the slightest. And it was quite good that it was almost caught on candid camera. Mm. Or, you know, it was sort of captured. That was a very real reaction.
Brendan McCullum set the standard for approach and sportsmanship, and Williamson has carried it on. And it has, in a year when we've seen what Australia have got up to and what happened to them, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the Ashes, because you've got a horrible feeling it won't be played in that same spirit. There was a massive amount of respect between both teams yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think, you know, Morgan and you know, plenty of others in that English team, I think, are players to be respected for how they play the game as well. I think that that was what really was a real tonic for me yesterday. It's just, I think that England team is just, there's a few decent blokes in that outfit, and obviously some great cricketers as well. And I hope that would continue on to the Ashes. I mean, hopefully the Australian remorse is genuine, and that they're going to continue down a path of enlightenment, perhaps, from what they've seen elsewhere. But that will be, you know, those are difficult things to change long term if you've had a juggernaut of an organisation that's worked on a different premise for so long. So I think that, that'll be a fascinating thing to watch over the course of the rest of the English summer.
Yeah. Who's next up for New Zealand, test wise? Who's your next series against?
Sri Lanka in about 3 weeks, I think, or a few weeks. Right. So next month. So they haven't played in Sri Lanka since 2012. Where they levelled the series there. So it's been a long time. And I think they're going to play in Gaul and Colombo, but they've decided they are going to tour Sri Lanka because, of course, they had that terrible terrorism atrocity. But then New Zealand's not alone on that front anymore since March 15th.
And that's the thing, isn't it, with cricket? You just got to climb back on. There's so much cricket played, the guys just going to have to pick themselves up and go again in just sort of 3 weeks' time.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's the circuit, isn't it? But then again, you've got to stop and just take a breath and think, what we saw yesterday, that's such an amazing occurrence. I mean, to be at Lords and to see that cricket played in that fashion, the ebb and flow of that game and just how the crowd was into it and the pandemonium at the end, the intensity. I just remember it starting off as like a murmur and then it sort of built and got a bit more rowdy and then it went back and it was just, it was just a wonderful atmosphere and something I'll never forget.
And how's it played today? That really the extra run was given incorrectly. That's the story, isn't it?
From, it's very tight, that, though. I've just watched that again. I mean, they crossed to me. I don't know.
That's a tough call. I mean, I don't know. I think that it's just in the heat of the moment. I mean, it's just... You've got to give the... I didn't think anything of it at the time. And, yeah, okay, I suppose on the replay it's fair enough. But that's I suppose it's in hindsight. It's a tricky one to call. And I think at the time they probably... The general consensus was that, it's a rarity, but it's probably... You've got to give the runs.
I mean, not going to go back out there and play another Super Over.
No, they can't.
Playoff. That would be wrong. Commiserations, Andrew. Good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Lovely. Pleasure, fellas.
Andrew Alderson there from New Zealand Herald.
When I look at my notes, though, I'm sorry about being magnanimous now. During the game, I've written one point. New Zealand must be the worst team ever to win the World Cup. The New Zealand commentators are really getting on my nerves, and we're making De Grondheim look like Glenn McGrath.
You are quite a bitter man, aren't you, when it's not going your way sports-wise.
Yeah. Not a great loser.
In the meantime, Andy, you can wow us, if you like, with something quite spectacular.
What's
from
that?
Your assembled notes. I don't know. I mean, I know you're a compiler of many fine notes. Are we on page 3 yet?
No, we're on page 2.
Well, okay. Right, okay. Well, page 2. Can you give us a flavour of what's at the bottom of page 3?
An artist has painted the Taj Mahal and the Great Wall of China on a grain of rice.
Yeah.
What's the point?
I knew that was coming.
There's been a world record attempt to assemble Daleks in one place. Why?
Yeah, okay. Is that enough? Just why?
Why bother?
Yeah.
A bloke complained to the police that his takeaway portion of chips was too small.
Really? Was that a 999?
Yeah, apparently.
I'd say that's wasting police time, wouldn't you?
I'd say very much
so. We were talking about Stan Smith, and Andy worked out he thinks Stan's on a pound a pair. We should look into this.
I have no idea, it's completely unscientific.
And my wife has reminded me that I had a pair of Stan Smiths on the first time I ever went out with her.
Oh, really?
So obviously dressed up for the occasion. Great,
good,
isn't it?
It's good that she remembered. I bet you can't remember what she was wearing.
I'm going to get in trouble now. Thanks for that. It should be imprinted on my mind. That's good. I'm going to get some clog when I get in now.
And finally, West Country folk are angry over mocking voiceovers. Ooh, that's terrible.
There we are.
Thank you.
Coming up very shortly then. Don't ask me in the next hour. I want you to mentally start kind of...
You want me to?
I want you to focus.
Okay.
I want you to focus.
I'll give it a go.
5 out of 5.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Without the distraction of the cricket, I did watch the women's final at Wimbledon on Saturday, and to see Serena dispatch like that is pretty rare. But it was some performance by Simona Halep. And in the build-up to this tournament, our next guest was her hitting partner. His name is Tom Thirlwall-Jones, and he joins us now. Good afternoon, Tom.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you, Tom. Yeah, I think you got a mention in dispatches as kind of being a great help in the build up to this. You were there, I take it. You watched the game.
So she very kindly got me a ticket to the semi final and the final. So it was very nice of her.
Yeah.
How did it come about? Sorry,
I was going to ask the same question. Yeah.
So I knew someone who'd done the hitting partner role for the All England club last year, and I knew he couldn't do it this year, so I basically emailed him and he put in a good word with the supervisor who handles it, and then I basically got the hitting partner job. And then just the Saturday before the championships, I was requested to basically, I was the only one available, so she requested a hitting partner and I got assigned, and she felt comfortable with me, it went well, so I just got requested back, and then it just kept happening. She just kept requesting me, and so she guess she enjoyed it. So
Yeah. So how does it work? I mean, there's certain things that she'll want to work on, and you'll work to that. So she'll say we want to work on something else, and then you'll just kind of, you know, facilitate that for her.
Yeah. So normally, what she'd want to work on is I'd sort of become her next opponent, and I'd basically hit shots that they would normally hit, and she would basically work on how she would respond to those shots.
Wow. Okay.
So you must be a pretty decent player yourself. I know you're at college, aren't you, doing a tennis scholarship?
I've just finished my first year at university in America,
Fantastic.
Yeah, so you obviously don't get to do that unless you're a very good player.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're on Twitter, but Simona only follows two people. One of whom is Mark Selby, the snooker player we found out last week.
maybe you can be the third.
Potentially. Yeah. We'll have to see.
What? So I read a little piece saying, you know, she's really nice. She's sort of very chilled. What did you make of her as a person?
No, she's very nice. She took the time to speak to me in between sessions, during sessions, after sessions. She wasn't rude at all. She was just a very nice person and pretty relaxed the whole 2 weeks. I thought as the tournament would go on, she'd get more stressed and get more uptight about her matches. But actually, she just was so relaxed, just like a normal person, really. Mm.
Yeah, she came across really well in the post game interview, didn't she?
Yeah. No, I think that pretty much sums her up. She's quite funny. She sort of speaks from the heart, and she's very honest.
Mm. So, what was it like playing mixed doubles next year?
Yeah, that would be good.
Well, that would be amazing. But yeah. I doubt it.
What was it like being Serena then in the build-up to the final when you were kind of, you know, playing her role, if you will?
Yeah, so sort of the main thing that we worked on, she returned for about 30 minutes, half the practice the day before on the Friday, and I would serve from halfway up the court, not even from the baseline, and basically just I would hit all the different spins and slices that she hits. Wow. And Simona would literally stand there and hit. She probably hit 100 returns that day.
Wow, wee. And how's sort of your career? How's the kind of trajectory? And how did you sort of start off in the game?
I guess my parents kind of took me to the local tennis centre when I was younger, sort of trying to give me something to do, and I just enjoyed it, and so I kept playing it. And then I was told when I was younger that I was pretty good, so I sort of took it to the next level, started playing county, then regional, then national, and then sort of international, and then it just kind of, I just kept enjoying it, so I just kept playing.
Right, and this is a 3-year scholarship you're doing in the States?
4 years. So I've got another 3 years left. Yeah.
Okay, and what's the plan beyond that?
So the plan would be potentially next summer to start playing more professional tournaments, and then hopefully go pro. But if it doesn't work out, I've still got a fallback of a degree in finance, sport management. So
okay.
It's not the end of the world if it doesn't happen. That's sort of the route that most people take, is the US route, just to have that fallback.
And you're a bit of a good luck charm now, so you may be getting the call from Simona and her people next time, when she's over in the States, possibly.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I know that her agent said some very kind words about me, and I've exchanged a couple of texts with her trainer.
Yeah,
so we'll just have to see. But no, it's been great fun.
Brilliant. Well, good to talk to you, Tom.
Yeah, well done.
You played your part, so thanks very much.
Yeah, it's all right. No worries. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Tom Thurl-Jones there, who was the hitting partner, 19-year-old hitting partner
of
Simona
Halep.
Yeah, she did come across very well in the interview. She was great, actually, and played really well. Serena was very gracious afterwards. Yeah,
funny enough, I didn't watch one point.
Well, it was. I kind of thought I started watching it. I'm a bit like you. I don't carry on like you do, but I don't. You know, I started watching. I thought, blimey, this is looking very one-sided. It was quite a shock, so I was sort of stuck with it, really.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Don't ask me to leave it out.
Here we go, then, Andy. Five questions based on last week's show. What are you getting a pen for? Why do you need a pen?
To
use your mind.
Yeah, okay. No, it's just little jottings.
Nice, easy one for you. Yes. Nigel, we spoke to Nigel Pearson.
Nigel Pearson.
That's right. We talked about Louis Barry, who left West Brom to join which team?
Barcelona,
yeah, it's not a route often taken. Matt Faulkner joined us, the angler. He caught a record-breaking stickleback. The record before was 2 grams. What was his monster catch?
I just wrote down stickleback, hoping you'd ask me that, but it's 9 grams.
Oh, okay. A bit cocky.
That's a huge leap in the stickleback.
It's huge.
That's extraordinary.
It's like getting a 200-foot great white, really, when you think about it.
The megalodon of the stickleback world.
Of the stickleback world. Jonathan Rice, Joe Royce joined us in the studio to chat about his book, Stories of Cricket's Finest Painting from 1906. It depicted a match between which two counties?
Oh, I'd say Kent.
Yes.
And Lancashire.
Oh, Andy Jacobs, this is serious.
Oh, Tilsley's a bat.
We were joined by an Arsenal fan, DJ from Rudimental. What's his name?
Locksmith.
Oh, well, you're a bit too cocky. And Stuart Reid, author and Scottish football expert, joined us to chat about his series of books featuring which character?
Oh, God. Google McDougal.
The well-known Scottish search engine. Not bad. Gorgeous George was the characters in Stuart's book. So like there we are. 4 out of 5.
Not bad. The second week
running. Almost like you teed him up for that. Though.
Yeah, yeah. Paul. Almost. It's almost like I always give him a really hard fifth one so he never get it right. But that's not
I hate to say it was signposted.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4pm on TalkSport.
There we are. What a thrilling Don't Ask Me. Just for one moment there, Andy, I thought you were going to do it.
I know.
So close.
So close.
That's us. We're back tomorrow from 1. Thanks for downloading us.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.